For eight, fucking 15 or whatever. It's video games, hot dog. I'm Zach.
I'm Riff.
I'm Kevin.
And I'm Aaron!
Special guest Aaron Burke. This is the first, guys. This is the first video games hot dog that has been anybody other than me, me, Kevin, and Riff. And I'm hoping that Aaron will bring some quality to the podcast.
We've overcome the technological hurdle.
I will bring quantity. I don't know about quality yet. We'll see.
We're unable to ever record anything with more than three people until Zach figured out how to multiply things by two.
And by figured out, you mean I was taught by a person who actually knows things about audio.
So we could do six people.
We could not do six.
I was super happy that I bought this, $200 box to increase the number. Yeah. Why'd I say it twice, huh?
Were you in Vegas, or why was it that much?
We could only have two mics, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to spend $200 on this box so we can have more mics, and buying an 8-port mixer made it so we could have three mics.
Oh. Two.
Some of those ports are for sailors, though.
Sure.
Yeah.
Hey, Aaron Burke from the Mini Bosses. Would you say you're president of the Mini Bosses?
I would say I'm president. I'm
boss?
Czar.
Ooh.
The CZ version.
Are you the Zod of the mini bosses? Which one is the big beefy guy that beats people up when you say so?
That's Ben, but Ben is out of the band now.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
Ben's still a member of the
Exclusive
band.
Scoops, you heard it here on Video Games Hot Dog episode number 18. Mini bosses have broken up.
No, they've just gotten rid of some of their bosses.
We just got rid of some of our members. We don't have any of our equipment and we don't play anymore, but we're not broken up. We're not broken up. No, Ben is still in the band, but he just
He grew up, right? Like he didn't want to have the rock star lifestyle anymore. He's got several mouths to feed.
That's right.
Some of those mouths are like vaginas.
You're telling me.
Some of them are exactly like vaginas.
They're not all over his own body, are they?
Some of them are. It's weird.
Is he more like some sort of honorary professor or something? Or?
Yeah, professor emeritus, I would say. Okay. That's good, Kevin. I think so.
All right.
Yeah,
but
whatever.
He still plays
you
shows.
With your East Coast Ivy League horse shit. This is not that kind of podcast.
Okay.
Just saying.
I just burped Bush beer into the mic, so
We tried to get PBR, but Aaron said he was tired of being yelled at for being a hipster, so we got Bush instead. Actually, they were out of PBR.
Okay.
We did try to get PBR.
Were you going to get tall boys?
No.
No.
Just short boys. Just good old boys. Never meaning no harm.
Regular size boys.
We've got this section in the beginning of the podcast where we tell terrible stories about nothing. So who's going first?
I thought we just did that section.
We're still doing it.
Oh, okay.
All right, so Aaron Burke went first. Riff, what's up?
I bought a book where Michael Moorcock teaches you how he wrote shitty fantasy novels in the hopes of maybe writing a shitty fantasy novel.
Are you going to write a shitty fantasy novel?
Probably.
Kevin, this ought to be right up your alley, what with the Moorcock. That's what you always want.
Yep.
Moorcock.
I hear you've been watching a lot of golf recently, Aaron.
I have. And I have been watching a lot of golf. That's a nice segue, Kevin.
Thanks.
Thank you for that. I have been watching a lot of golf lately, and
in golf when somebody hits a ball right to you, so you can hit it really hard into the hole. Right?
That's how golf works.
Relay
right?
golf.
But the reason why we're talking about this is everyone's got a nice pop filter pantyhose in front of their mic, except for me. So
because you're the guest.
If you do hear me breathing during the podcast,
just pretend you're watching golf.
Or does it the breathing? Does it breathing? Does it just stop?
I have a breeze, so we can keep it going.
The explosive plosive.
It also it reduces the breathing, and I don't know if that's just because it keeps you further away from it.
We don't use these. We've brought one of the mics here from the Advice Hot Dog Studio at home, where we don't use pop filters because we don't need them. Because Roy and I are fucking professionals, unlike you clowns.
Yeah,
you guys need these pop filters.
Well, I'm okay. I don't have one, but I could still use one.
Yeah.
I'm not a professional. I'm not
golf story.
So I hear that you had some sort of
The golf story is just when we were talking. I love watching golf on CBS because, and I don't work for CBS, so I don't know why I just plugged them twice. But anyway, I do like watching the golf because you will hear them breathe sometimes.
And
they whisper
not the golfers.
They're not anywhere near the golfers, and they whisper.
Like they're in a studio, potentially a mile away or something.
Yeah. If you have a baby at home,
Yeah.
Watch some golf, and that baby will be lulled into a rhapsody of Artur Rimbaud Renaissance period.
Post-Renaissance. Poetry. Yeah.
That your baby will wake up with a smile on its face and probably a log in its diaper.
It's probably just gas.
Yeah.
The smile, not the log. The log isn't just gas.
My dad was very nearly a professional golfer.
Really?
Well, he never went pro, but he devoted most of his life to working for the state amateur associations in Colorado and Arizona. And
isn't amateur the opposite of professional?
It is, yeah. Yeah.
So your dad, in a lot of ways, was the opposite of a professional golfer.
Except that he was organizing tournaments that both professionals and amateurs could play.
Wasn't your dad also a nuclear physicist?
Yeah. Yeah, he was.
I thought that was his hobby. He was a golfer first and foremost.
Well,
did it make him feel like a big stupid dummy when his nuclear physicist experiments didn't work?
I don't know. He talks about launching missiles off of ships in the Pacific.
What was his blowjob to date ratio?
Did anybody ever give him a bag of jewels in exchange for doing some nuclear physics?
He's never mentioned that, but he does have a bag of jewels.
Did he masquerade as the backwards man, I can walk back as fast as you can?
No.
Kevin, I know this might not be the most comfortable space for you to answer this question, but was he a molester? Was he a child molester?
No, not to my knowledge.
Okay.
He did not react well to my sausage organ, though.
You were just being creative.
Yeah, you presented it to him, and he was just like, I don't want that. Get out of my face, kid.
Yeah.
Sell high, buy low.
Don't tell me, Kevin, that you're so goddamn stupid you can't tell the difference between hot and cold.
I don't even know.
All right. See, this segment's going great so far.
Yes, actually it is.
We've got some stuff written down. Oh, hanger steak. What have we been eating, guys?
But there's a whole story behind this that you could tell.
Which I think I've already told. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, you have told that story, so...
I've told it to you. I've told it on the podcast. You've never listened to the podcast. Because you know what, Aaron? You're a bad friend. I listen to all of your stuff. Granted, that's a single 40-minute album, but...
Right.
Nevertheless, I've listened to everything that you've published for the last few years. Just saying.
I mean, you're probably right. I'm a bad friend.
Speaking of relatives who do things.
He makes that putt relatively easy on the 16th green.
I hear your grandfather grows cattle.
Yes. He plants an egg, and it grows a dirt cow.
Yeah.
So I'm almost certain that we've told this story on the podcast before, but my grandpa's a big fan of
Pretty
hamburger.
Sure.
And so when he raises a cow, he was like, yep, I got a cow that I'm slaughtering, and I'm going to tell him to turn the entire thing into hamburger. And my mom said,
an entire cow into a hamburger.
Yeah, bones and
that's the bones worst. And all, yeah.
Bones and butthole.
Just worst
wrong.
Idea.
It's actually just bones and butthole. He throws away the meat and takes the bones and the butthole.
So what he's making is hot dogs.
I think that involves chicken lips.
Excuse me, my Mexican food is repeating on me a little bit.
Say that again.
That bush doesn't help.
No,
that bush
really
is a beer, by the way,
it
everybody.
Really yeah, it's good. It's the it's ice cold Bush Bavarian. Anyway, we convinced him to get some of the better cuts out of the cow and send them to us. And I also had asked for the hanger steak, which he didn't know what I was talking about. And I said, just ask the butcher, he'll know. And the butcher didn't know what I was talking about.
And I didn't know.
And he had to look it up on the internet. But I don't know. It's good. It's steak. We cooked it, and it was delicious.
It was really, really good.
Put it on a grill.
Gonna eat the cow's heart and gain
its
powers?
Yeah, my grandpa's butchering another cow, and I was like, you know what? This time, I want some even weirder shit. I'm like, give me the liver and give me the tongue.
In addition to the hanger,
they'll just
steak,
get thrown
right?
away. Yeah, in addition to all the actual
and
steaks
the fillets
that we got.
And stuff.
Yeah, fillets, ribeyes. Yeah, that's... I don't like ribeyes. They give me diarrhea.
Really?
Yeah.
I hope he takes the heart out Temple of Doom style.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
With no
just
weapons.
Punches the cow in the chest.
Om Nam Shivaya.
That's how the butcher does it.
Moram. Moram Sudram. Moram.
Yes.
The butcher's name is Barney Thuggy. So, could be. Right. Could be. And he is his office is situated over the only volcano in southern Illinois.
Oh.
Is he
the only active volcano.
Does he steal gear in his spare time?
Mm-hmm. I don't know what you're talking about.
Son of a bitch.
Oh, because you, you're segueing.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, his name was Thuggy.
Oh, okay.
I figured.
You think some thugs stole your gear?
Oh, I know some thugs.
All of Aaron's recording equipment, all of Aaron's amps, an entire trunk full of amps got stolen last night.
That's motherfucker.
So
by thugs.
So sad. But you have some breaking news on that.
I do have some breaking news. Breaking news. Thank you. They found, Mark is another bandmate of mine, had called a bunch of the pawn shops.
Not Mini-Bosses, though.
Not Mini-Bosses, but another band, Color
Mark
Store.
Mark Twain and the Langoliers.
had called a bunch of the pawn shops, and I guess two of them had been brought in, so...
What happens if something gets stolen from you and then sold to a pawn shop? Because the pawn shop paid for it.
Well, here's the deal. Yeah, exactly. It's going to depend upon the time of the police report, and if the pawn shop bought them before the police report...
Wow, really?
Then they get to hold them for whatever their period of time is, which is usually 90 days, and then they can... I guess they have to give the info over to the seller.
Do they have to
police.
Give the? They have to give the seller. Like if the seller comes back and says, "I want this amp back," then they get their money back, but don't give them the amp.
I don't know. It's a great question, and I don't know enough about it yet.
Because I feel like a pawn shop owner is in a lot of ways just another criminal.
I definitely
right.
They're like the go between the criminal world and the legal world. They're just kind of
they're like a fence between those two things.
Yeah, yeah
I hear they make good neighbors.
Do you know anybody that can move the ice? I don't know anybody that can move ice.
Well,
it was an ice brand amp.
All
of the cables are made of solid diamond. The fidelity of the sound is just so
it's
much
just
warmer.
It's just amazing. It's just is very clear, and Tiger has a
double birdie.
I will not understand why he made that shot. That's a triple eagle.
Hey, you know, I heard that speaking of the video games news, I heard that Worms Golf came out on NS1 today.
It did.
NS1?
It did.
I don't know what any of those words are.
I suggest playing as Hannibal. He seems to have the best shot.
Planet of the Apes is listed on this,
yeah,
but nobody.
Yeah, why is that?
Nobody saw it except for me. That's,
and you could tell us about it.
Another, it was pretty good. It was
what
actually.
It was?
It was actually a pretty good
the Rise
movie.
Of the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, Rise of the Planet of the Apes was
is
pretty
it,
good.
It's
movie.
The sequel to the previous new.
It's a prequel.
No,
it's a prequel.
A prequel to the original.
Okay.
To the original or to the original remake?
I think to the original. I don't know.
Okay.
They talk about a mission to Mars, and they talk about the mission to Mars getting lost, and I don't know. I don't remember in the remake where was Marky Mark on Mars.
He was going.
They called
to Mars,
it Marzy Mars.
Marzy Mars. They had Marky Mark bars.
I mean, so I feel like
I thought that's what Good Vibrations was all about.
The
Marky Mark video.
Oh.
I thought you were talking about the Beach Boys song.
Yeah,
I mean, that was about how Brian Eno believes that no one can lie if they're in a swimming pool. No, I don't remember. Like, so I feel like the Planet of the Apes conceit relies on a method of interstellar travel by which you wouldn't notice if you also went thousands of years forward in time.
Wasn't there some sort of wormhole involved, or some sort of like failed thing where he got cryogenically frozen?
This was set relatively modern time, so I don't know what the deal was. I don't know if this was a prequel to another remake of Planet of the Apes, which would be
fine. You know, the terrible, terrible ending of the reboot of the Planet of the Apes thing makes me think that this is...
I haven't seen the remake.
Who
cares
it was,
about spoilers, but how did the remake end?
It was okay until... There was like a sort of twist ending that made no sense at all. Like, he is suddenly back on Earth, and it's regular Earth, and he goes up to the Lincoln Memorial, and then it's like a monkey Lincoln. Which is like, what the fuck kind of nonsense just happened there? Like, you were way in the future, and then you went back in time to a time when everything was exactly the same except Abraham Lincoln was a monkey.
Well, except for the implication being that...
Sounds like a Beck song.
Actually, all the people are monkeys, and you're the weird one now.
What?
Yeah.
That's like in that Twilight Zone, where the hot lady turns out is an ugly pig woman.
Right.
Yeah. But your glasses break, so that's okay.
Wouldn't mind seeing that, then. Wouldn't mind seeing the next movie be... the apes are in control with the humans in cages, but all of a sudden the humans are getting smarter and take over the world.
Oh,
again.
Man, it could be like flowers for Algernon in a cage.
Flowers for Artard.
To serve man, flowers for Algernon.
So the monkey astronaut finds... The monkey astronaut in the future finds the monkey Statue of Liberty.
Yep.
And is all, you damn dirty humans.
Right. Mm-hmm. Or the monkey, I guess in this case, we should use the monkey Abe Lincoln, since it's already been established.
Well, the monkey or Astro Monkey, I think is really the
yeah, there is a sort of a clumsily inserted, get your dirty paws off of me, you damn, get your stinking paws off of me, you damn dirty ape. Out of a character who just is established would not ever utter that sentence. So that was a little bit of, I guess, fan service. I'm not sure what fans they were servicing or what manner they were servicing them in.
The Charlton Heston fan
boys. By and large, not a bad movie at all.
Charlton Heston still alive?
I haven't heard of
Charlton
him.
Heston still alive.
Yeah, he is.
I think he's probably like too fucked up to talk to anybody because it's been a lot of years since he did anything.
I've heard he's kind of
messed
up.
He was, you know, booed off of a couple of stages after September 11th, at least. So, you know, that was 10 years ago. What could happen in 10 years? It's not like a dude would die.
Yeah. It takes way longer than 10 years for most dudes to die.
How was James Franco in it? I find him hit or miss.
Totally, like...
What does he miss, Dan?
Innocuous? Yeah, what have you felt?
I've seen him
in
things like... He had a guest spot on a soap opera. And He was
so good in Freaks and Geeks, though.
He was very good
in
Freaks.
He did really well
in
that golf tournement.
Yeah, he did. But I saw him in a soap opera. It was pretty good, though. It was par 70,
so
Augusta.
So are you saying he was subpar in the golf tournament and also subpar in the
And overacting
TV show?
In both.
He was good as Shaka Zulu in Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves.
Hmm.
Are we talking about Michael Moorcock again?
He was pretty good. Well, okay, so is it Moorcock as in I want more cock, or is it Moorcock as in I want more cock?
It's
spelled the latter way.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's like you want Morgan Freeman from Planet of the Apes instead of Mark Wahlberg.
Instead of a Mormon freegan.
From The Postman.
Right.
Morgan Freeman. Wait, who do you think would win in a fight between Morgan Freeman and a Mormon freegan? No, that was a question.
Yeah, it
was.
Are you actually asking me?
It's like the rhetorical betting bureau. Who do you think would win? Don't answer that. Don't answer that.
Yeah, what kind of
we need
a while
for the odds.
Kind of
odds we need a while for the odds makers to work their magic.
What's the spread?
And also I was a guest on the Overthinking It podcast, available online at overthinkingit.com last night. Yeah, it's great. It has nothing to do with anything. We talked about manners.
Yeah.
Do they have a personal section like this?
The whole thing is kind of a personal
section. Well, not really. They're a little more pro about that shit than we are. I don't know.
Oh, I understand now. I thought when that was written there, I thought it meant like overthinking this section.
Yeah, let's overthink this. Yeah, because that's what we've been doing the entire night.
Exactly.
All right. Hey, listeners, let us know. Now that we're 18 minutes in to this horse shit, terrible idea or stupid idea?
Or best idea.
You make the call.
Now for the segue, let's go down to the 15th green where Rory McIlroy is conversing with his caddy. What do you think they're talking about, Kevin?
I think he's talking about a chipping wedge or perhaps
no, a wedging chip. You're totally right, Kevin. They're definitely talking about a chipping wedge. A chipping wedge. Yes. He's on the green.
Sand wedge?
He's on the green.
Were you not listening earlier?
Listen to my segue.
We're on the green. but he's on the green of the wrong hole.
Yeah. Exactly.
But it's fairly close.
But it's
so
fairly
a chipping
close.
Wedge
so he
a chipping wedge
it.
Is the right thing to do.
And
you are such a disappointment to your father. Like, you literally know nothing about golf.
I am so glad.
Or nuclear physics.
I am so glad.
God. When are you going to do something with your life, Kevin?
I had a nuclear-powered putter once, but...
What have you been
he
playing?
Didn't care.
Have you been playing any video games?
I have. So I haven't had much time to play many video games, especially since we're only like 5 days past our previous podcast.
Yeah, and we're 2 days away from a giant hiking trip that we're all going to have to punch a bear. And also,
Oh man, you should turn that into a game.
Bear puncher?
Like mark where the level borders are on your map.
Mount Rainier. See how many points you can score. 2K11.
Yeah. Yeah. So I found a game on iOS that I don't even know how I ran across it, but it's pretty awesome. It's Tower Defense Lost Earth, and it's pretty amazing, actually. It's got all the aspects of different tower defense games that I really like.
And what are those?
Well, so there's like different styles of boards. Some are just like the regular, like predefined map where stuff comes in and you have to kill it. And then there's other stuff where you have to make the maze.
Oh, huh.
And then there's resource gathering maps. And then
it's
there's
interesting that it has both, because most games are only one or the other.
Yeah, it's
yeah. There's a lot of there's levels. It seems like most levels where you also have like scenery on the map that you can set your towers to destroy, like in the Creeps Tower Defense.
Yeah.
Which is that's a game that has had a lot of lasting power for me because it's actually like active during the waves. Like you build the towers, but then you've got stuff to do where you're trying to like, all right, if I just shoot at this rock just long enough to like do as much damage to it as I can before I need to like turn that off and start shooting the dudes on the path. This I played a little bit of this after you told me about it, and it really seems like it has combined every aspect of every tower defense game, but done it in a non-intimidating and non-shitty package.
Yeah, I haven't played through maybe a third of it so far, the campaign mode or whatever, which unlocks more and more towers and defense stuff and enemies, and have been really really enjoying it. So, yeah, so I'm pretty excited about that. What about you, Riff? What have you been playing?
That's the only game
you've been playing. That's the only other game I've been playing.
I got to the last boss in Two Worlds 2, and it was pretty bullshit, so I rage quit and decided that that was as much of Two Worlds 2 as I needed to ever play.
Really? You get to the last boss and you I cannot even imagine doing that.
It did that thing that occasionally happens where the last boss fight introduces a mechanic that you have not tested or been prepared for throughout the entire game. I mean, if I'd been playing an archer at all, maybe it would have been better. What you're doing is you're running around this circular tower going to ballistas and trying to shoot this dragon that's flying in the air. And yeah, if I'd done any archery throughout the entire rest of the game instead of entirely melee, maybe that would not have been as much of a thing.
You hadn't leveled up breaking your shoes in, so you got a ballista.
That was good.
So like Trine, everybody complains. There was somebody that I follow on Twitter was complaining about the last like they were rage quitting Trine at the last level because of I beat the last level of Trine on the first try, and I don't know what
it was.
Everybody is talking
definitely
about
a little different than the rest of the game, but it kind of followed from the whole rest of the game where like you've been practicing your skills
different than the rest of it. But yeah.
And just the just that and the boss is just constantly shooting fire at you, and a single hit does
it's a dragon.
A third of your health, and
what else
all the 100% fire protection potions that I had saved up throughout the game did nothing.
What?
So it was just far too difficult and too different from any other combat in the game, and it's just like, all right, this is the last thing that happens in the game. I don't need to bother finishing.
Yeah, but I mean, you've seen all the game, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
Like, that's the
but
thing.
What if
like
there's
the,
some sort of closing cinematic?
It's some bullshit cutscene. Yeah. Who cares? Yeah, it's a fucking cutscene.
Wow. The story wasn't interesting enough for me to care.
I agree,
much.
Too, if it's such a different mechanic where you're like, it takes you out. I don't know about it, everyone here or anyone here play Dead Space?
No.
One? No?
No.
There's a very famous part in the middle of the game where you... I mean, this whole game, you're walking through, it's third person, and you're killing all these really creepy aliens,
like
and
space
it's great.
Zombies? Like
yeah,
like
space
Event
zombies.
Horizon zombies?
Exactly. And then all of a sudden, in the middle of the game, you get...
Another great Morgan Freeman movie.
You get to strap yourself into a chair and start shooting some meteors that are about to hit the ship.
So they,
it's
they
the
install
most frustrating.
Asteroids.
They install asteroids where you play the part of the asteroids hitting the ship, and it just takes you out of the game because you were like, "I was the hero, not trying to kill this dude." No, but you're trying to shoot them, and it's really frustrating. It took...
But, I mean, the asteroids are also zombies, right?
It's like the boss fight in X-Wing versus TIE Fighter, where you're both the X-Wing and the TIE Fighter.
Right.
Simultaneously. You've got split screen.
Right. And if you're right-handed...
Good luck.
Good luck. You know, who wants the Force to win? Anybody? Raise your
like the
right
police,
hand.
The police force. I can't. I have to shoot. I have to shoot this X-Wing.
Damn it. I thought I could trick you.
Yeah, well. Two Worlds 2, huh?
Yeah, and I bought Dead or Alive for the 3DS.
Is that like a tits volleyball game?
It is a tits martial art fighting game.
Okay.
Like,
is it all
it's
tits?
Like Street Fighter, except with a lot of tits.
It's like all girls or just
no, it's
mostly
about
tits.
Half girls, but the male characters are
also have huge
barely
tits.
Characters.
Like the front half of girls or the back half of girls?
The entire girls. It's a 3D game.
So did they just get bored of volleyball? Or I thought that was a volleyball franchise.
It was originally the volleyball is a spinoff.
Oh, the volleyball was the spinoff.
So it's like tetherball, like a volleyball spinoff.
Right.
Okay.
I'm confused now, but I don't really
Dreidel
volleyball. About this game anyway.
We have one right here.
Yeah, I hung a tennis ball on the lamp so that people wouldn't hit it with their cars.
Yeah. Is that the same one that used to be above your computer?
Yeah. People kept turning on. I went on this rant about how I hated people who hung volleyballs from the tetherball pole in their garage, so they would know where to park their golf cart. Anyway, and our friend Dave.
I still don't understand why you think this is a bad idea.
Because learn to fucking drive is why I think that's a bad idea.
But what, if you like, why is having some sort of indicator about where you're supposed to park like
I think
such
it's
a,
like a lazy
okay? So
thing.
get some curb feelers so that you don't have to learn how to pull up next to a curb. No, don't do that because you're not 90 fucking years old. Just learn how to park in your fucking garage. It's your garage.
Drop the can of PBR and learn how to freaking drive.
Yeah, that's it. Listen,
hipster.
I successfully park in my garage every single night, and I am almost always shitty, shitty drunk when I pull in there.
Sure, but
so,
you've also got like 5 feet of clearance in front or behind your car.
Listen.
Also, you have a volleyball hanging up in there to tell you where to park.
That's true.
Yeah.
It's his little blood-faced friend that just shouts at him when he's too close.
Is that all you've been playing, besides your Dead or Alive volleyball?
Yeah, that's pretty much it, actually.
Okay. What about you, Aaron?
Lately, I've been playing... Let's see. Oh, you know what I've been playing on, which I didn't mention earlier in our pre-game show? I've been playing this game on PSP called... Psp. It has the longest title. It's called The Legend of Heroes Trails in the Sky. And I saw on IGN it had gotten an okay review, so I bought it, downloaded it, and started playing it.
Wait, do you have like a jailbroken PSP?
That's not the correct term, but yes.
Do you have a jailbait PSP?
A rape smacked?
Yeah, it's
PSP.
It's pink and it has Hello Kitties on it. Huh, jailbait nice. PSP.
But it says it's 18. What am I going to check its ID? What?
Looks old enough to me. Triangle, triangle, square, triangle. It's a good game. It's an RPG, you know, it's your classic RPG kind of game, but it's good, except I realized later I was kind of Googling just to see what other other reviews were, because I was like, oh, this
you
looks
were,
like it's
you were
supposed
Googling
to be,
your jailbait.
Yeah, it's supposed to be 60 hours long, and that's when I noticed that the acronym for the title is Legend. Everyone calls it The Legend of Heroes, TITS, because it's Trails in the Sky. Mm-hmm. So anywhere you look, they're just talking about, oh, TITS is a great game. Oh, I love TITS.
I'm a big fan of TITS. Yeah. It's a pretty good franchise.
Takes a long time to finish, but it's worth it in the end.
I don't think you can make it finish just by playing the...
It's good. It's
what's the gameplay? When you say it's a traditional RPG, like what does that mean on a PSP?
So it has a lot of stat building. You gain experience in the normal way from battles. You equip weapons, helmets, armor, accessories. The only thing that's cool, the nice thing that's cool, it's not Final Fantasy-ish in the battlefield where you're just
turn-based
all on one
combat.
Side. That you actually the action things still remain the same, so you still select fight, etc., but you are on a grid, so you do have to move around.
Is it sort of like Valkyria Chronicles in
a little
way?
Bit.
Like you get a certain amount of time to run up and press a button to swing a sword, or
no? It's totally based on your it's not real time at all. So you have a move stat, and that's as far as you can move in any direction. And
so it's tactical then.
Yeah, it's tactical.
How big's your party?
It's up to 4. Hmm. Bless you.
Thank you.
Greater than 1, and I lose interest.
You're an old Dragon Warrior fan.
And what was that game that I bought on your recommendation years ago on the PSP? Like the last thing I played on the PSP?
I believe that was called Rugu.
Crisis Core. Yeah, fucking Rugu. Man. Did you guys ever play Rugu?
Never heard of it.
Never played Rugu, and neither did anybody else who's not like a 9-year-old and Aaron Burke. Rugu. Well,
I'm
it's
like
a game.
I'm like a 9-year-old. Right.
So you remember that Fisher-Price thing where you have like a hole that's a certain shape, and then you have like a plastic thing that's a certain shape, and you're trying to push it through the hole?
Like a square peg.
That's
a round hole.
That's what Rugu is.
So call me Artard. I don't care. I liked it.
Yeah,
it's a good
I've heard
game.
That you're not as good at that game as Knuckles Dawson.
What?
Hey.
Wait, but an entire game based on pushing pegs through holes?
There's no more to it than that. That's it.
There's a lot more to it.
You don't make pasta sauce. You don't make some sort of weird pottery.
It's a Play-Doh Fun Factory. Play-Doh Fun Factory.
Yeah.
Do you guys remember those things they were selling that go into your ass that make your poop into a Play-Doh Fun Factory?
I've heard of that, but I don't think I want
I think
to
just
get involved.
I have the star shape by default. Is that right?
Yeah, the asterisk.
Yeah. What else, buddy?
Final Fantasy Tactics just came out on iOS. I've been playing that. But you said you don't like that game, right?
I don't like tactics games in general. That's like an RPG with 15 characters you got to control. So,
yeah, I'm just curious what it is you don't. It's just the scope of
having,
the characters.
Having a bunch of dudes to take everybody.
Yeah.
So there is a game with a bunch of dudes. There's a tactics game that I do like. Fire
Disgaea?
Emblem.
Oh, no.
No, Disgaea,
is great.
Okay, so here's another problem. Final Fantasy Tactics, fucking isometric
right.
camera, and I can't hack it. I can no longer think of things on a grid when the grid is rotated diagonal. Can't deal with it. Fire Emblem, straight up and down grid, really simple set of moves for everybody, and I like it quite a bit.
You could just turn your controller 45 degrees.
And also, I could get a chair. I could get one of those chairs that leans you over 45 degrees to work your abs.
Yeah.
Yeah. They make those, right?
I think something like that.
Diagon abs.
You could sit on a ball.
Yeah, kettlebells.
Yeah.
You know what I learned? You know why dumbbells are called dumbbells?
Why?
Because back in the day, when people wanted to work out, there weren't like conveniently shaped heavy pieces of metal when metal was like precious. So they would take a bell, which was big and heavy, and they would remove the clapper from the bell, thus rendering
it dumb.
And then they would work out with that.
I see.
Wow.
Yeah.
Never knew that.
You learn all kinds of shit reading random things on the internet all day for your job.
I thought you played video games all day.
I do that too.
All I learned on my job recently was that Wu-Tang lyrics are funnier than I expected them to be.
Yeah. I did a
pretty
bunch
much
of
every clan is pretty funnier than you might think it is.
Sweet swords,
yeah,
that was pretty cool. Oh, you know what I forgot to do in the non-video game segment was talk about the new video games website, the video games hot dog website I made.
Well, we could talk about that in the how to contact us.
Okay, fine, section. Fine.
Coming up,
I
talking about the new video game site,
hot dog webs. Yeah. What else? You were telling stories about other things that you played. Or do you have any more to say about Final Fantasy Tactics?
The only thing I'll say is that it's not... for a game that was 2 years or so in the making of coming to iOS, it's really not well done by Square. The port is not good.
Yeah, it was just a direct port of the PSP version, right?
It is with some not direct. They went through. They actually messed up on the PSP version, and all of the spell casting is very slow. So they went through and fixed all that so that battles wouldn't take forever. But just the you would think oh. Yeah, touching the screen will be great for this tactics-based thing, but it's not. It's very... I played it on
my iPad for on my jailbait iPad for a few hours, and then I went back to the PSP to compare, and I enjoyed the PSP version a lot more.
You know, having physical buttons makes a huge difference a lot of the time.
It really does.
I am still shocked that there is not some sort of either Apple condoned or created or some sort of just standardized controller that you snap your iPhone or your iPad.
Why can't you have both?
You know what I read about yesterday in the patch notes to a game was added support for Bluetooth gamepad.
Yeah. And there's that iCade thing, too.
Ah, Bluetooth gamepad would totally solve a lot of problems.
And I wonder, I saw that and my eyes lit up and I said, hey, that's a thing. You know, though, when I got my 3DS and I went to the eShop and I was like, hey, Xenonia, that's a game that I said I would play the shit out of that game on iOS if it had a fucking controller, so maybe I'll try playing it with a controller. And then I played it for like 1 minute and quit.
Yes.
Did you get a Bluetooth controller?
I bought that game in the first place on your recommendation, Aaron Burke.
I also bought
it. You did?
Yeah.
On your recommendation. I thought you also had a jailbait device. So.
No.
Oh, you recommended it when you thought it was free.
That's correct.
I bought it and then never played it.
Xenonia is one of those games where it's really...
The intro cinematic was like an hour long, and I was like, I just wanted to play a game.
With a poor translation.
Yeah.
And probably an already poor story to begin with. And it's awful. I don't know.
I don't know why a lot of people can't skip that shit. I don't know why I can't skip fucking cutscenes, even though I hate them and they never add a goddamn thing to anything.
I don't know.
Also, why does our new game have fucking cutscenes?
Some of them are pretty awesome.
They are pretty funny.
Our cutscenes are good.
That is probably what every game developer says.
We're going to be exception to the rule.
I fucking hate cutscenes, but oh, ours. Ours are a special, unique snowflakes of cutscene glory.
I want to be in the meeting where they're not particularly proud
Nobody
of
else
their
has
cutscenes.
Cutscenes written by
but they
me.
Still won't cut them.
Okay, cutscenes written by Riff. I guess I can't talk too much shit about them. you've been playing Might and Magic Clash of Heroes, you said.
Yes.
Yeah, that's
that
a
is a
one.
Fantastic fucking game, and it's I cannot recommend
game.
It highly enough.
I
still have never gotten around to finishing it. I don't even have an excuse.
I was just surprised how much I enjoyed it because I didn't think I was willing to put 50 plus hours into a game like that but it's really a lot
but
of
you
fun.
You got super into Puzzle Quest. I remember talking to you
I
about
I really like Puzzle
like
Quest.
Like you comprehensively played Puzzle Quest.
Yeah, I did. I made sure I did everything in Puzzle Quest and Puzzle Quest 2. I really like both of those games. I thought Puzzle Quest was a little bit better.
Yeah, I powered through it.
Puzzle. I don't think Bejeweled is a puzzle.
It's a puzzled game.
I agree.
Tetris is a puzzle game, right? Like Tetris is an abstract strategy action game.
Yeah.
But Tetris spawned a category of games that are just called puzzle games.
I see.
Right?
Okay.
Which makes it hard when you're searching a store category.
When you're looking for like Professor Layton or you know, I don't know. Anything
Train Yard.
By,
puzzle agent.
Puzzle like agent.
Jane McGonigal's Extreme Reality Simulator or whatever.
She just came out with a new thing. I don't know what it's called.
That game where you go to the bathroom at a Nine Inch Nails concert.
No, I thought you were going to say at a 90-degree angle.
Yeah. What, is that not how it works for you?
I use a 45-degree angle chair, so...
I don't know that she was involved with the Nine Inch Nails thing.
No, I don't. She, in my mind, is just what ARGs
synonymous
are.
With ARGs. Yeah. I see.
I see her, and I think, arg, like when Lucy pulls the football away from me.
Oh, I thought when she mashed wine with her bare feet.
Ah, meat.
What?
Oh, shoot, it was beef.
Oh, yeah, it was. I tried to text someone, shh, but my phone auto-corrected it to... beef. Because that's apparently something that I texted somebody at some point. A, and then like 12 H's, and then beef.
But all connected with no spaces.
Yeah. Just
So the full text ended up being, beef. It's a secret.
Yep. To everybody. But pay me for the beef repair charge. It's dangerous to go alone. Beef. So, Might and Magic Clash of Heroes, and?
I don't know. Did anybody here been
playing Catherine or heard of Catherine?
I have it on my wish list, but I haven't bought it yet.
Yeah, I've heard some things about it.
What do you?
I really wanted it to be good, especially when I first heard about it. But it half of the play mechanic is ascending towers that are made of blocks, and you're basically on this time trial trying to ascend this tower before time runs out, being chased by enemies. Yeah, but the other half is the great half. The other half is you're in a relationship with this girl named Catherine with a K, and she is always pushing you to get married, and you're out at a bar one night with your friends, and you get really drunk, and you wake up next to a girl you had taken home named Catherine with a C, and it ends up becoming this tryst, this lover's triangle between you and these two Catherines. And it's a very cool story, and that part of the game involves texting, where you get texts from both Catherines, and you choose the responses back that you will text them. It's really, really cool. But then all of a sudden there's this weird platforming thing. I want the game to be all the texting.
Maybe somebody will make a remix.
Maybe. Yeah. And take out all this horrible platforming. And it's really bad, too. It's not fun.
What I had heard said about it was in the bar, there is apparently an arcade cabinet where you can play a very abstract version of the block jumping game, which is supposedly pretty fun.
Yes.
But it seemed like a thing where, as a proof of concept, the block jumping game was cool and fun, but then it just wasn't executed well enough to be inserted into this thing as deeply as it was.
Yes, and it's also a huge disconnect between, at least for me, I find myself really enjoying the story, and the animation is very good, the dialogue's great, the texting stuff is actually really well done. And then all of a sudden when you go to sleep, you have these nightmares, and that's where this platforming stuff comes in. And it's just very, it's a very weird part of the game, and you can't progress unless you scale the tower. And Is it
some sort of weird phallic symbol?
Yeah, I haven't beaten it, so.
So to speak.
So to speak. So it very well could be, and I hope to beat it someday.
It's like some slutty lingerie shit on the cover. Do you see some punani in the game?
I don't believe so. No, nothing is. I believe it is rated mature,
but not for hentai. Yeah, not because the goal is to walk around this island causing goth low.
No, it's only because some of the texts say OMFG, and we all know what that means.
Uh-huh. Is this some sort of weird anime dating sim kind of thing?
Yep.
Wow.
It's done by the same people who did the Persona games, which had a lot of dating sim and mechanics in it. Yeah.
And I love those. Mm.
And Custer's Revenge.
Which I also love.
That Paul Robertson guy that did all the sprites for the Scott Pilgrim game recently posted on a website his fan tribute picture to Custer's Revenge, where Custer is drawn as this sort of Cthulhu-esque penis monster.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. But it's all in pixel 8-bit style art, and maybe 64-bit style, but he's a good artist, but it's a scary picture.
That was the true revenge.
How about you, Zach? What you been playing?
I played a bunch more of Mega Mall Story.
Okay.
How's your mall doing?
I beat it.
You got to be number one mall?
Yeah, I got to be number one mall. On the first playthrough, I beat it, and that seemed a little weird, because Game Dev Story was hard, and this was you had 15 years, and I think on year 12, I started getting the number one spot, and I was excited because you unlock all these new stores that you can build in your mall, and you unlock these you unlock the knowledge of these combos. You could just probably look it up, I guess. Those carry over into the next game. But after the first game ended, I just was that took a really long time, and I kind of don't want to start over. And I also beat it the first time, so...
Is it some sort of phallic symbol?
I think so, yeah.
Does it have a difficulty level at all, or it's just one...
I don't think it does. You're just going for a score. right? So,
right.
So I mean, I could undoubtedly get a higher score with my maul the second time around, but I don't think that I will. Hmm. You know, I mean, I played it for 6 or 7 hours. Like it was good. It was a good $3.
Did you come up with a name for your maul?
My maul was called Balls Maul,
not Darth Maul.
No, it was just Balls Maul.
National Mall.
I was in a hurry. You know, I didn't have a lot of time to think about it.
Balls to the mall.
Yeah. No, it
Paul
was
Mall?
Just Balls Mall. Guys, you're overthinking this.
Do you find score to be a compelling mechanic at all? I can't think of a game that I've tried that I've cared about beating my score in so many years.
No, but recently I've seen...
Cybots?
I've seen... Good point.
Yeah, Kevin. Kevin felt the need to fill the entire high score table in the Zybots cabinet here at the office with his own total cheater scores.
Wow.
And what's your handle on those?
Just Cass. But the I just used as many quarters as I wanted to keep funding. It was more of a I bought the high score table.
Oh, right, because you can buy coins in Zybots. If your guy is in the store and you drop a quarter in, you just get a bunch of buying power instead of getting a credit.
Yeah.
Forgot about that. Fuck you, Edlog. What you microtransaction bullshit?
I think it's revolutionary. Revolutionary.
Yeah,
but there's been a bunch of low scoring speed runs lately. I don't know if
golf.
You've seen
those. Yeah, I saw that Super Mario
Super Mario
thing.
One.
Oh, yeah,
what was it? 400 or 500? It's a great run.
Yeah, it was crazy.
So you don't kill anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. So basically, yeah, and not only that, but. To see this guy do it, he waits on the edge of the flagpole until the timer reads zero and then runs into it. So
oh,
he gets
wow.
100 points and no time bonus. And he does that on every level. Not only that, but there's a great... Everyone should YouTube that low score speed run because there's a great jump he does where... There are two coins over the arch he has to jump. And rather than, and you can't make the jump without
collecting
them.
Yeah.
Except that a Goomba is about to walk off the cliff. And he times his jump so that he lands on the Goomba
and bounces onto the
midair
edge.
Over the hole and bounces.
Oh, that's why he has to kill the one enemy because it is either that or collect
that
two,
or
coins.
Two coins.
So you can get 100 points or 200 points. That is awesome.
It is so good. So good.
And it's not boring to watch. Do they fast forward through the time when he's just running the timer down?
Right on. Yep, yeah, exactly.
Was it tool assisted?
No, it is not tool assisted.
Really? There's some, like, him getting past, like, the pairs of Hammer Brothers without killing them is madness.
And it's stressful. I don't know how he made the run myself because it was stressful to watch.
He uses all the warp zones, I assume.
Yes, he uses the warp. So he only, I think, what does he do? He only beats, like, five. You don't get any points for winning, which I thought was hilarious. Yeah. So he only beats 5 levels and he hits 1 Goomba.
Huh.
Don't you get like 50 points for just breaking a block?
Yes, you get points for breaking a block.
So he couldn't get into world negative 1.
No, and not only that, he never collects so much. He's small Mario the whole time.
Wow.
It's really cool. Yeah. It's a great run.
It's an interesting take on it.
It is.
I also played this. I also played this other iOS game that I am super fucking excited about. And now that Kevin asked me, "Hey, is there multiplayer?"
Oh yeah,
I'm even more excited about it. It's this game called Zen Wars, which is basically iOS Rampart.
Oh nice.
Oh really?
With local multiplayer. Yeah, you're pulling your phones out of your pocket to buy
fucking
now.
My iPod touch out.
Everybody is writing that shit down.
That is awesome.
It's pretty cool.
If it is anything at all like the Rampart game in the multiplayer version, that is going to be so awesome.
There are some refinements to it. I'm assuming you just tap where you want to shoot, which is
that
a little
different.
You know,
yeah.
Because
hey,
hard.
What's the Wi-Fi network password here?
93222302EB. You're not gonna remember that.
Yeah, but I'm not gonna remember until I get home and download this podcast.
I know, and then you won't be here where you can connect to the wireless network anymore, buddy. Found the critical flaw in your plan.
God damn it.
Anyway, if anybody's war driving our neighborhood, that's the key. I also because somebody posted to the Twitter about our me talking about the problem with Amazing Breaker, where dragging your finger off the edge of the screen caused it to think that you had lifted your finger up. They talked about these guys had addressed this problem in this game called Magnetic Billiards.
Yeah.
And what it does is if you're dragging and you get close to the edge of the screen, it zooms out as you move your finger. Good. So it makes it so in order to draw your finger back, you have to get less and less close to the edge of the screen. It's pretty clever.
That is clever.
This game, I played it for 20 minutes. It is fascinating. All it is a physics game where you're on a rectangular table and there's a number of balls. And when you hit one ball into another ball of the same color, they join together. And every level has like a threshold for which, or maybe it's just if all of the colored balls on a level are touching, they disappear. And that's it. But it is a game of score. And the worst score you can get is by just hitting all of the balls on the first shot. Like, you're not trying to do that. You're trying to do the most elaborate, tricky thing that you can. You get a score multiplier for every time your cue ball bounces off a rail. So a lot of what you're doing is trying to figure out a way to bounce back and forth off of a rail 30 or 40 times and then hit one ball but not two balls. And then take the third ball on the table and do the same thing. Like, figure out how many times you can make that one bounce before it hits the other three. Hit it such that they're all three connected into a triangle, which gives you more points when it disappears than if it was in a line.
Oh, wow.
So it is an incredibly simple game with a really complex scoring system, which makes it pretty interesting. And like, you don't get to unlock the next level unless you get an S rank score on a given level. It's fascinating. It was really neat. I was like, I don't know that it's a thing that I'm gonna play a lot of, but I was like, wow, this is something slightly different than other things that I've seen. When you were talking about whether or not score is a compelling mechanic, that's all I was playing for in Dungeons of Dreadmore.
Really?
Yep. I mean, I was enjoying it, but I was like, oh man, I'm gonna have a super good score.
Huh.
Because that's all you've got at the end of a roguelike, right? Is the score.
Angry Birds is a score based.
Fuck you, you're fired.
But
you're fired from the podcast and from your job.
But it is, I mean, that's how it works, right? That's how you get your three stars.
Yeah,
it's
three
all score threshold. And,
least amount of birds.
Yep.
Most combos.
Well, usually least amount of birds. But sometimes if you can do more than 10,000 points of damage with a bird, then it's more beneficial to fly it.
It's an automatic three if you do that, or
no. Because
they're worth 10,000. Sure. Happen often in the game?
Yeah, there's a lot of times where you're, the best strategy is to destroy everything with every possible bird.
Wow.
Instead of saving birds, and the three stars is just at the score threshold. That's the only thing. That
no, I know that. I just didn't know there was maybe I haven't played it enough. I just didn't know there were levels where you could get more than 10,000 points a bird.
Wow. Some birds you can get 50 or 60,000 points.
Jeez.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, he's pretty serious about this Angry Bird stuff, which is why he is fired.
I'm not serious about it. It's not like I, fantasize about it, right? Fanfic or anything.
You
like
sure
that.
Brought that up really quickly.
Yeah, that was weird, Kevin.
Yeah.
No one said you were fantasizing.
You haven't seen
it.
my feather headdress or anything, have you?
No.
I just hope you don't beat Angry Birds.
Is that
have
some
you
sort
beaten
of
it?
Yeah? What do you mean by beat?
Have you beaten it while
have
playing Angry
it?
Birds? I also have played a bunch more Fallout New Vegas, which right now I play it in sessions that are exactly as long as it takes Fallout New Vegas
to
fucking crash when I go to quick travel.
So you like playing for 12 minutes?
Yeah, it's fun. It's a nice casual coffee break game for me.
Lose progress when you do that?
No, because I fucking quick save all the time. Because that's the thing, man. Games where you can quick save are games where you quick save.
Yep.
Does it keep all of your quick saves or just the most recent one?
Just the most recent one.
Okay.
I save every
You're
once in a while, like
PC?
save. Yeah. Playing on a PC. It's just fucked up.
I played it on a 360 and it's just as glitchy, if not more. It's probably more glitchy on the 360.
It's harder to patch on the 360, right?
Yeah.
I found the PS3 version less crashy than Fallout 3, but I have not installed any of the DLC, which is what caused Fallout 3 to get really bad for me.
Mm.
That was an impromptu poem. You'll have to go back and listen to it and understand.
Oh.
All right. Well, that's what we've been playing, guys.
Way to go, Rimbo.
Sweet segment blows.
All thanks everybody for coming back, and it's a beautiful Sunday. What's that? I'm sorry. It's actually a Monday, and we're here on the 14th tee. And Gavin, I'm just curious here as Rory steps up to the tee.
Why does he have a chipping wedge on the tee?
That doesn't
make any sense.
Yeah, I mean, he had one before when he was playing the 15th green. I don't know why he's back on the 14th hole, but
I think it's entirely possible that his caddy just packed an entire bag of chipping wedges.
I think is that why they all have Tigger heads?
I think so. I think so.
I understand now.
Hey guys, what's going on in the world?
Golf, apparently.
I don't know what have we got written down.
You were talking about here. Some sort of crazy Eve Ponzi scheme.
Oh yeah, some guys perpetrated a pyramid scam in Eve Online that if it were possible to legitimately convert Eve Online currency back into real money, it would have been a $50,000 haul.
See, this, my understanding is that it is possible to legitimately cash out Eve currency into real money.
You can buy Plex, which is a card that can be used either...
Well, Kevin can buy Plex.
which can be used... you can buy an in-game item using either real money or game currency, and that item can be used either to sell somebody else for game currency or to buy...
More playtime.
Buy a month of playtime. And so once you've put your real money into the game that way, you can't get it back out. But you can keep yourself from having to buy more game time.
But the last big scandal in Eve was a guy who like bilked his guild or whatever out of a bunch of money that he then... And this was referenced in this article that he then used to like make a down payment on a house and pay off his credit card debt.
Emphasis should be on the word. You can't do it legitimately. The same way you can't sell WoW gold legitimately.
Okay.
So the
but people do it all the time.
Yeah, I guess. But the
they'll hurt me bad, but I don't mind.
But in the real money black market or whatever, it would probably be.
Why does it have to be a black market?
Gray market, green market. Because the people that run those sites take their cut. So the estimate I heard was that if he actually converted it into real money, it would be like 20 grand.
How long did it take to set this whole thing up?
I know very little about the story other than that it was a hugely elaborate pyramid scheme.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. That is pretty cool.
Newsflash, in a system where you allow people to do anything, they will fuck each other out of money.
Totally. Yep.
I did read that he
also set shit on fire and draw dicks on it.
One of the things he attributed to the success of it was the fact that he, unlike a lot of scams and business opportunities in Eve, he didn't talk about it on forums. He only talked about it in chat. Because that way, if anybody said anything bad or disparaging about it...
It was temporary.
It was temporary, and that information would not stay in a Googleable format.
Interesting.
That's interesting. Yep. I had been getting some calls from some like sort of predatory tax accountancy firms leaving messages, and it's like sounded like, you know, the messages were left like, yeah, there's a legitimate problem that needs to be addressed. And I started Googling it, and like when I typed in the name of the company that was calling, it was the Google autofill was scam, and I was like, good to know. Not being able to do that for this Eve thing. Yeah, that's pretty clever. Mm-hmm. People are shrewd. People go to great lengths and are extremely resourceful when you let them fuck each other out of things.
Well, you guys have seen that Kim Jong-il is mining World of Warcraft stuff. Have you not?
I've not heard this.
That was in the news a couple weeks ago.
Personally?
Oh, he's got a whole section of people playing World of Warcraft like 18-20 hours a day.
He himself is like these farms of people that are just farming
prisoners
gold.
Oh, prisoners, okay. In the jails.
State prisoners.
Yep.
I see.
Wow. That's I guess it beats making license plates or whatever.
Although it's probably very very repetitive.
License plates.
It's probably mind numbing. in a way that playing a video game is not normally mind-numbing.
Talk about taking the fun out of it.
Yeah.
You used to play World of Warcraft 18 to 20 hours a day.
Yeah, but
and
it
give
was
all the gold
fun.
You found to Kim Jong-il.
Yeah, but that was just me tithing to my communist masters.
Oh, okay.
I guess Google Plus has finally launched their games segment.
Yeah, there were like 12 games, and I went to play one, and I got as far as the title screen, and then I was like, I don't really want to play this game.
Yeah, I clicked play, and it was like, we want access to all of your personal information. And I was like, no. And then it was like, sorry, you can't play us if you're not going to give us that. And I was like, okay. So yeah, I don't have a lot to
look,
report.
If you're concerned about privacy, you should be using Facebook, not Google Plus.
You think?
Yeah.
Information
wants to be
I
free.
Wish I understood why it wanted that information before I agreed to it. Like, is it going to send them all messages and say that this is my favorite game ever? Or is it just going to, like, what is it going to use that
what
info for?
What information did it want? I'm just
curious. It wanted to know all of my contacts and the
social security number.
Yeah. All of my contacts and the order, like,
and the webcam to the office.
Ranked in terms of how often I interacted with them.
Wow, that is pretty.
And stuff. And I was like, why do you need to know that? Like, what is this all about?
They're trying to figure out who your friends are so they can put them in your farm.
Well, to be fair, sure. The game that you were trying to play was called Private Detective, and you had already started the game. I hope you know that.
It's actually Michael Douglas's game.
The game.
Oh, I thought it was Michael Moorcock.
Michael Moorcock's the Moorcock game.
Yeah, but it only takes 6 days to play it.
BBC Puzzle Hunt? What?
The BBC is doing an elaborate, not an ARG, but...
ARG beef.
They did a series of three science-oriented... I don't know if they were broadcast on TV, but
wouldn't
these
they say
shows,
science orientated?
Orientated these aluminium.
They would, and they would spell science with an OU.
And they have in them hidden various clues, and there are also other puzzles on the website. And once you have solved all these various puzzles and unlocked all these various clues, you end up with three passwords that you need to unlock a PDF file. And the PDF file is a hugely elaborate. Basically book filled with basically an MIT-style puzzle hunt. And if you happen to be a UK resident, the ultimate solution to the book leads to some kind of real-world treasure that's buried somewhere.
That's Wait, pretty cool.
I mean, why do you have to be a UK resident?
It's only open to...
I thought if you were going to say, if you happen to be a UK resident, solving the puzzle hunt will let them... They will let you leave.
Yeah. They will ignore the fact that your palm pistol has gone black. I tweeted relevant links, so if anybody's interested, they can go look at it. It interested me long enough to unlock the book, and then I looked in the book and just my brain kind of shut down from how complicated and elaborate it looks.
It probably looks more complicated than it is.
Sounds like it would be right up Kevin's alley.
Yeah, definitely.
That sounds pretty
awesome. Hey, we don't have to stop the recording at 9 o'clock tonight to do the Master Theorem. When the Master Theorem comes out this week, we are going to be so many miles away from any WLANs.
Yep. I could print it out and send you a carrier pigeon.
You could. That's true.
Telegram, a Western Union. You could send the cavalry.
You could fax them some apple juice.
A Pony Express. Who do you have to blow to get some wallpaper?
Does anybody have a wrench?
Protein structure in the apple juice.
Yeah, news.
News.
Anything else?
Is that all news?
The Firefox 6 is coming out tomorrow.
Yeah,
or like yesterday.
3.6. That confused me.
Is this
me
like
so
a
much.
Joke?
I don't know. No. Versions? So 4 came out in March. 5 came out in June, and now 2 months later, 6 is coming out. At this pace, they'll be at 12 by the end of the year.
What the hell?
I don't know. It's kind of retarded. I don't know.
Did they not understand how version numbering works?
I don't know.
They used to, didn't? I thought before
well, I mean,
they
Firefox
did have...
came out 10 years ago, and it was 3, right? By the time,
yeah,
by
it
March,
was.
It was 3.
It was 3.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's gotten kind of nuts.
It's time to switch to Chrome.
I feel weird in this group. I use Chrome. I only use Chrome. I don't use Firefox.
I had such a miserable experience with the Chrome beta that I was just like, ah, this is some unfinished bullshit. I'm not touching this.
Oh, I love Chrome.
I resisted Chrome for a long time because I like the grease monkey tools that I have for Kingdom of Loathing, but I've been informed that there are equivalents for Chrome. So I don't know. I might have to try it out.
A grease monkey is pretty powerful.
I used Safari for years and years and years, and the thing that made it sort of superior to other browsers was this extension pack, which is no longer updated. And so I updated Safari recently, and then it just the extension pack stopped working. So now I feel lost at sea.
I stuck to my Internet Explorer guns for a really long time. There was a good amount of time where Internet Explorer was by far the best browser to use. Firefox sort of supplanted it.
When
it was the only browser.
Yeah.
Well, so Netscape was way better than Internet Explorer until like version 5, and then IE just was clearly superior for quite a while, right? Like it's weird. It's weird that every browser falls into the same trap, right? Like, because they must have understood what happened to all the other browsers, right?
What trap do you mean?
Bloat.
Well, bloat, yeah. It becomes all things to all people until nobody wants to use it anymore because it takes too fucking long to load.
Then it's nothing to nobody.
Cool news, bro.
Yep.
Hey guys, I don't want to turn this into a podcast where we play songs because I hate having to like fast forward through the music on Weekend Confirmed. But there's a song that I think y'all are gonna like a lot.
It's really nice of you, Zach, to play a mini boss's song on the podcast. Oh, and I'm really excited about that.
This is totally awkward.
What?
The song I'm about to play is called Dragon Puncher, and it's by James Kochalka Superstar. And I hope that you all will like it as much as I do.
I'll listen to it.
I am the dragon puncher, a punching I will go. If you are a dragon, I will punch you in the nose. I am the dragon puncher, you know I ain't no liar. The dragon tried to burn me, but I ain't scared of the fire. Cause I know the secret of infinite lives. I know the secret's a lie. I know the secret of infinite lives. I know the secret, so I never die. I am the dragon puncher, punching I will go. I saw 7 dragons and I punched them in a row. I am the dragon puncher, you know I ain't no liar. The dragon tried to burn me, but I ain't scared of the fire. Cause I know the secret of infinite lives. I know the secret, so
we're back. That was a interesting. We were just down on the Champions Tee and we heard the victory song. It was called Dragon Puncher. It was very interesting for a golf song. And then we heard a strange voice emanating from the clouds. But I'm just curious, Kevin, what do you think that Rory is feeling right now after having beaten the field and only having used it as a chipping wedge.
I think he's got to feel some sort of sense of failure for having devoted so much of his life to golf.
Do you think he feels it's weird since he's standing right between us, yet we're still whispering to
guys?
Each other?
Yeah. Guys? Also, I think he wishes he had worn pants today.
Rory, please. I'm talking to Kevin.
So this week's assignment is Eye of the Beholder 2. How'd everybody do with that?
I did very poorly.
Fucking game, man.
Yeah, I mean, I wander around. I figured, so you appear in the forest and you can see down the hall. And I was like, I'm going to turn around and see if I can go backwards. And hey, I could. So I wandered around in there and some old lady appeared and said, oh, I know where you're really going, and teleported me to the temple.
No, you can not go.
Yeah, and then I wandered around the temple a little bit, and the priest said, hey, don't go in our bedroom. And I said, oh, sorry. And then I did, and then they attacked me, and I killed every priest I saw for a while.
That is the only way to progress in the game.
Really?
Yeah.
That's pretty much what I did.
I did not. I like wandered around the old lady sitting at the temple. I talked to another NPC there who's like, oh, I'm looking for this other lady and she's off in the forest. And so I was like, okay, well, they clearly don't want me to go into the temple. So there must be something else in the forest. So I went back out into the forest and I comprehensively fucking mapped this thing. And there's like one secret in there which doesn't lead anywhere, and then there's all these graves, and I'm like,
you say it doesn't lead anywhere. It leads into a sweet dungeon cave. You get like a leather armor.
It's like 10 or 11 squares of map.
Yeah,
but all of your characters start with better than leather armor in this game.
Okay, fair enough.
Even the fighter mage thieves?
Yes, they all have something better. And so then I was like, okay, well, there's these five gravestones. So clearly, the only feature in this entire forest that isn't that stupid like secret passage or whatever are these gravestones. So clearly, I've got to defile these graves, even though my cleric is all, I'm not going to touch the graves. You got to be crazy. And then you dig them up and it's just bones. And there's nothing special. And I'm like, okay, what the fuck? I have thoroughly mapped. I have traversed this fucking forest like 12 times. I have checked each individual wall to see if there's any additional secret passages. There is nothing going on here. Why are they telling me so hard to go back to the forest? Like three or four different things point you back to the forest and there's nothing there. And so then I went to the temple, and then I like just started killing priests left and right, and then I found some freaking prisoner who just stole my shit.
Yep.
Oh shit, that guy steals your shit?
Yeah.
If you rest before then.
Yeah, if he joins your party and then you feed him and then you rest and he steals your shit, but he does leave you a note that gives you a nonsense clue about a secret door. It's like, check the northeast wall of my cell. There is no northeast wall of his cell.
Cuz they're all rectilinear.
Oh, I thought it was 45 degree like Final Fantasy Tactics.
No. No, I wouldn't have been playing it.
There's a northeast corner.
I was hoping that there would be a lot more improvement, but somebody pointed out that this game came out like less than a year after I had an older one. So there were some improvements. Nicer. It looked nicer. There were more tile sets right off the bat.
Yeah, that was definitely appreciated.
I was really kind of impressed by the opening cutscene. I thought that sort of painted animation was pretty nice.
Yeah, I thought it was nice.
Yeah.
And there's the things where you go and you see like a person's face and they're like, hey, fuck you.
And did you guys re-roll your characters very much since you could infinitely do it?
You could also just hit the modify button and adjust all of your stats to...
Yeah, but I know that's cheating. Yeah, let's just re-roll infinitely.
That's what I did, basically.
Even with characters totally maxed out, the combats on the first level were fucking impossible.
I'd roll until I got good scores and then add and subtract to them using the modifier until I got the numbers where I wanted.
Are kind of overpowered. Like fireball spells are
really
super, super strong. And then the ice storm is horseshit. Because like a fireball will mostly kill a lot of things, and then an ice storm does about the same amount of damage, but also damages your entire party.
Oh, cool.
I remember you saying at one point, not on the show, that Eye of the Beholder 1 was secretly had a time limit.
That is my impression.
Is that also true?
I don't know.
Because if it's not, then why would you not just blow everything up with fireballs and then rest every?
I mean, that's what I did. Yeah. I didn't play through the whole game, so it's possible that.
And
I
that's
was
what happens
myself.
If you're min-maxing Dungeons and Dragons, right? Oh wait, didn't you also in the what have you been playing, Aaron? Did you also play Dungeons and Daggers?
Yeah, I didn't really. I was kind of glad that we glossed over that, but sure, I'll be happy to bring that up now.
In this context, it was a Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah, no, in this context.
Game,
no,
you know?
Totally. I got Dungeons and Dragons Daggerdale, I believe it's called. And I played the trial.
Dick Daggerdale.
And I played the trial for 360, and I don't know, maybe because there was such a absence of any other games to play, I actually bought the whole game. It is awful. Diablo 1 is a far superior game, and this game just came out a few months ago. It is awful.
Would you say that Eye of the Beholder 2 is better than Dungeons of Dragons Daggerdale?
I would say that Eye of the Beholder 2 is better than Dungeons of Drails and the Dagger, Rolling in the Deep. It is better.
Tits in the Sky.
Tits in the Sky, everybody. Legends.
So sorry, I thought that I thought it was going to be a more of an improvement.
A much more improved version. You know, I was kind of getting excited by the seeming sort of like story elements, and I think I was just sort of annoyed by the story pointing me back to the forest a bunch of times, and there just being nothing there.
I was a lot less frustrated by the maps.
They were much more comprehensible.
Yeah, like it was not. There was a lot less of the like, this is a maze just to fuck with you.
I got pretty quick at mapping once I got the hang of it. It's not that bad.
There are a few of these types of games on iOS now, and these games are very good with the touch screen. I just this game would have been a blast on touch
much
screen,
better
honestly.
Than it, yeah.
What games are
you
there?
Know? I'm trying to think of what the names are, and this sounds silly, but I can't. But there are a number, right?
You know,
and
they're
one great.
Very similar game to this style of things is fucking Wolfenstein RPG.
Oh yeah,
tremendous amount of fun on iOS. Yeah. Just really, awesome. Really good first person.
They did
turn based tile
based too.
Yeah, I didn't get as into that one.
I think there's the dungeony one. There's one called the Crypt or something similar, and it's very good. And even this game, I feel like if they did a straight port, I would rather play this on a touch device than I would on PC.
What was the one, the DS game that John Carmack made in this style? Orcs versus Dwarfs or something? Orcs versus
Orcs
Elves?
Orcs versus Elves, yeah.
That was pretty
good.
Yeah.
It was a pretty good game. You know, it was just this game. It was just Eye of the Beholder.
It's simpler than I feel like Eye of the Beholder 2, at least.
Yeah. But pretty cool. Yeah. Fucking play Wolfenstein RPG.
That's great.
Combat mechanics, though, in this game, frustrating. Like
the fact that the only offensive spell that the cleric had didn't work from the fucking back row.
Yeah.
The fact that a ranger doesn't start with a goddamn bow and arrow.
Yeah.
I hang out in the forest a lot, and I couldn't find the pet button, and all I kept running into were these really
cool
cute
dogs.
Cute dogs. And every so often, I notice all my characters' hit points going down, and I'm like, we must be getting really tired.
Right.
And every once in a while, one of them would turn into a bone, and you'd be like, oh, he finally gave the dog a bone.
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah.
The resurrection station in the temple?
Yeah. I didn't.
What was that all about?
I didn't go to the resurrection station. It very much seemed like this was a game that wanted you to bring in characters from Eye of the Beholder 1.
I think you would do way better, because those... You start with crap gear.
Did anyone do that?
I didn't. I didn't play enough of the first game to
make it
so when you do that, is it... Do they scale the characters, or you bring them in like completely powerful?
Bring them in completely powerful. Yeah.
Wow!
Did you ever play like the Sierra like Heroes Quest?
Mm-hmm.
I maxed out my character from Heroes Quest and ported him over to the second game, and that was a lot of fun. Like,
yep,
just having maxed out skills starting out the game.
I found the second one kind of bewildering. I got into some sort of maze in the alleyways of the Arab town, and I was like, I don't like this. I can't tell where the doors are.
This is too much like real life.
They're too pointy. The doors are pointy, and they scare me. So Kevin and I are getting ready to go on a trip for like 2 weeks, and so there's not going to be any video games hot dogs. So here's what I would like to do. I would like to say that the assignment for the next 3 weeks is Might and Magic 3.
One might and one magic for each week.
It's you can get it on Good Old Games, and I think it's like $4 or something. And you should buy it. You should make it so John Van Canningham gets some money.
Okay.
Kevin and I will play it a little bit when we get back. One of these days, I'm going to do Might and Magic 4 as an assignment, because that's where the series really very much starts to shine, in my opinion. But Might and Magic 3 is fucking amazing. It is an order. It is like Eye of the Beholder, only an order of magnitude more friendly and easy to deal with.
We're definitely on an RPG kick, I think.
We are.
This is going to have to be the last RPG for a
while. We're on
a
first-person RPG kick, because I read this book about RPG history.
Okay. All right.
Can we go back to Eye of the Beholder 2 real quick?
Yes.
Yeah.
Can we each name one of our characters? Can we say what we named one of our characters? Go ahead, Zach.
I had a cleric, a female cleric named Queef.
Did you brought her over from the first one?
No, in the first one I had named like Beef, Thief, and Queef were my characters. Yeah. Beef.
I had a mage named K, just the initial K after Joseph K and Metamorphosis.
Kafka. Yeah. Very nice.
I at Comic-Con, Peter Cooper was there, and he did a comic book version of that, and I got it.
He's friends with Dick Barrels.
Oh, I see. Yeah, Dick Cooper. Yeah, I get it.
I had a cleric fighter named Scarf.
Scarf?
Yeah.
That's pretty good. Like, so was that like accessory based or like a play on Snarf from Thundercats?
A little of both.
Snarf with a scarf. Very stylish.
What about you, Aaron Burke?
Well, this is kind of one of the reasons why I only played it for 53 minutes or something. I really like to name my characters. I like a lot of letters to deal with.
Yeah.
And, I one of them I ended up naming was RTLSCR. But that's because really my main character always has to be named Rattlescrapes.
Okay.
Yeah. It's just a nice name I picked up a long time ago. It's very rattlesnakey, but there's a little.
Right. Who was the first Rattlescrapes?
Well, it's funny. There's never been a true Rattlescrapes because there's never enough letters. There's never a 13 letter limit, I've found. It's kind of the ultimate goal. But I think I'm trying. Actually, that's a good question. What's the first game I ever played where you could name your character?
Legend of Zelda?
Yeah, maybe. Or like.
Weren't there any PC games that let you do that?
Like Dragon Ball?
Or Mac?
In Might and Magic 1 and Might and Magic 2, my dad always named the party after the family. So there was Greg and Zach and Kathy and Skipper, who was the dog. Skipper was always the thief.
Sure.
It was always sad. I would play. I would say, "Oh, Zach got killed."
I can't remember if you got
to, sucks.
I can't remember if you got to name your guy in Ultima 2 or not.
I feel like you did.
If you did, that would have been my first one, probably.
NetHack.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Rattlescrapes, huh?
Rattlescrapes.
Cool. Yeah, anyway, play Might and Magic 3. I'll post a thing. I've played the shit out of it already. I will force feed it to Kevin when we get back down from the mountain. Maybe what I will do is, on the mountain, as we're sitting around
You'll
the campfire,
tell
I will tell stories. I will regale him with stories of my exploits in Might and Magic 3.
And then you'll ask him, do you want to go north, south, east, or west?
There's a random item generator, and this was the first time that I ever actually saw this, where you would get, like, poisonous crystal sword of ropes.
Awesome.
Oh, nice.
Or whatever. Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And so you can, you know, that's a sword that lets you cast ropes, which is a spell that lets you climb things as though there were a rope. There are things that require ropes, but if you have ropes, the spell, ropes, you don't need ropes. Where we're going, we don't need ropes because I'm a wizard who can cast ropes. Or I'm a fighter who has a poisonous crystal sword of ropes.
Or if your landlord, Mr. Roper, comes over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or where we're going, we need ropes.
Mr. Wahlberg.
The spell. All right, we're back. Well, this was certainly an exciting day, wasn't it, Kevin?
Oh, yes.
All right, well, we're about to sign off, so I figure this is a good time as any. Well, actually, this is the best time, so we should probably tell people how to get a hold of us if they...
I think in the clubhouse would be fine. We'll just be there in case people
want... We'll be getting drunk at the 19th hole.
Yeah, in case anyone wants to sign autographs or whatever.
So we got a new website. I made it, and it's awesome.
Did you make it out of HTMLs?
I did. I made it out of HTMLs with a little bit of PHPs.
How many HTMLs did you use?
I used pretty much all of them.
Nice.
I use all of the ones that I know, which is admittedly not very many. Cyber34 says, put a doc type on your website already. It's embarrassing. I don't know what a doc type is, but it sounds like something for nerds. So I'm not going to do that.
Put a doc type on your website?
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty funny, actually, as far as insulting things that nerds could say.
Yeah,
like,
pretty
funny. Is he talking about, like, the trailer? Like, so it would be, like, videogameshotdog.com/index.html or index.php?
No, it's just like doc type is something that you embed in it, so it's telling you which HTML standard you're conforming to. No HTML standards. Here's the thing. The number of HTML standards that I'm going to conform to is fucking zero, because if you want to conform to an HTML standard, you have to not do things like, oh, I don't know, center things on the goddamn screen. So I'm going to stick to HTML 0.0.
The center tag
center tag is deprecated. The center tag is fucking deprecated. And you cannot center a goddamn thing which expands with the size of its content in modern standards compliant HTML, which is why modern standards compliant HTML is fucking horseshit and nonsense.
That's why we should all view things with Netscape.
Every browser will render the Video Games Hot Dog website just fucking fine. And I don't know why this fucking nerd even knows that it doesn't have a doc type. He must have some, like...
Well, he reads the source code.
Yeah. He probably has his browser set to some, like, bullshit strict standards mode that's like, hey, I just want to let you know that no fucking websites conform to HTML standards, including this one.
The certificate for this site is kind of kooky.
Anyway, if you wanted to ask us a question or whatever... Not that we ever do reader mail. We get so caught up in the things that we have to say that we don't give a fuck about you. It's nothing personal. You can go to videogameshotdog.com, or you can find us on Twitter @videogameshotdog. I mean, @VGHotDog. Or you can find us at videogames.videogameshotdog.ho@gmail.com. I mean, VGHotDog@gmail.com. Or facebook.com/we're not on Facebook. Anybody else got any ways to get a hold of us?
Carrier pigeon.
Yeah.
Aaron, where can they find you? You should plug some shit.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to be playing ColeCon. That's the only thing I really want to...
What's ColeCon?
That's the only thing I really want to plug.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Is that the Kingdom of Loathing convention the weekend of September 9th in Mesa, Arizona?
It sure is.
Can you register for that at kingdomofloathing.com?
Yes. Kevin, sweet. I believe you have something to say about that.
Store.asymmetric.net, actually, but that's cool.
No, but you can follow the link from kingdomofloathing.com.
You'd have to know. You'd have to
Nobody
know
Nobody knows this how to is... spell asymmetric.net. Sure.
Sure.
The .net throws them for a loop.
It does, kind of.
And all they ever type is assmeter.com, and that is, trust me, a different site entirely.
And if anyone's seen my gear, just give these guys a call or a ring.
Yeah.
So I can get my gear
back.
Yeah,
we will give you a much better price for it than those pawn shop jerks will.
That's for sure.
And then we'll blackmail Aaron. We'll say, if you ever want
to
play.
Why does
with
it always have to be
band,
blackmail,
the mini
Zach?
Bosses again. It doesn't have to be, it just is. All right, that was a sweet show, bros.
I want to kill a skeleton and get a sweet sword.
Okay, do it.
Okay.
Good night, everybody.
See you.
Bye. Have a great week, everybody.